mama used to take care of my daddy. Now my daddy's taking care of my mama. And mama's 87, and she's not doing as well as my daddy, and so my daddy's doing all the cooking. And that's not a bad thing, because my daddy can cook. If he has to, brother, he can. He don't cook biscuits like mama did. Now, mama was, you talking about a biscuit and gravy cooker now. If the Lord needs anybody in heaven to take over that department, mama could take care of that. But daddy, he didn't cook little biscuits. He cooked a whole cake. He didn't mess around, brother. And I thank the Lord for my daddy. And him and mama got married 1956, July the 20th, 1956. And I came along in December of 57. Just barely got in there, brother, 57. And so 55 was a good year for cars. 57 was a good year for cars. I don't know about us, but anyway, born in the 50s. And had a good mom and daddy, and thank the Lord for them. I pray that the Lord would just let us all go up in the rapture together, and they won't even have to go by the way of the grave. You know, I heard a preacher one time, pastor, he said he wanted to bypass the rapture and go by the way of the grave. He wanted to pass on and go by that route. That way, he could experience both the resurrection and the rapture. What do you think of that? Well, it's a thought, isn't it? But you've heard of astronauts, haven't you? We just had some go up in space not too far, long ago. And you've heard of cosmonauts. You know what a cosmonaut is? It's a Russian astronaut. Have you ever heard of a was not? That's what I want to be. I want to be a was not. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. I believe that's a type of the rapture, brother. Wouldn't you just like to be walking along one day, maybe singing praises or maybe quoting some Bible verses, and the Lord, it's going to happen one of these days, if you're saved, that is, if you're saved, if you're born again, and the Lord comes back, he's just going to catch us up out of here. We're just going to vanish out of sight. We're going to go be with the Lord, and those that have gone before, have passed on before the rapture, they're going to be resurrected first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever be with the Lord. And then the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Boy, it's a comforting thing when you think about the rapture of the church, the coming of Jesus. I'd like to preach to you on that thought. That's the reason why we sung that song, Jesus is Coming Soon. Would you turn your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter number 19 this morning. Revelation 19. And please stand to your feet when you find your place. Revelation chapter 19, we'll begin reading in verse number 11. Boy, this is some exciting stuff this morning when you think about Jesus could come any moment. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Look at it, Revelation chapter 19. We'll begin reading in verse 11. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
John the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Do you know who that is, the one that's called Faithful? The Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus has a lot of names. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it is, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's called here Faithful and True. We're going to see another name in a moment. Look at verse number, we're still in verse 11. He will be called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. There's another name for Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And on down to verse number 12 or 14, somewhere along, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. That's another name for Jesus, the Word of God. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Here's another one. King of kings and Lord of lords. Pastor, would you pray for us this morning?
Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for our service already. Be blessed by song and our fellowship once again. And then I think about our fathers and those that are here, honoring them, but then most of all, Lord, you. And we want to honor you every day. And I pray you be with Brother Rochester.
Help us, Lord. Amen.
And I pray you speak to each heart. You know every need that's here. There might be one more here lost or not sure about the salvation.
Yes.
But I pray that you would deal with that heart. I pray that they would surrender to you. Be saved today.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, we commit this service to you now. Ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to talk about the coming King, or the King is coming. You know, I want to compare Jesus' first coming, first of all, compared to his second coming. And I love Christmas, don't you?
Amen.
In fact, I can't wait till Christmas gets here. Boy, it rolls around a lot quicker now, though, you know. I mean, it used to be when I was a kid. Man, you're talking about, you slow as Christmas, man. it takes an eternity for Christmas to get here. That's the way it was, and not anymore. Brother, ever since I got my driver's license when I was 16 years old, time has been speeding up. And boy, the months are like weeks used to be, and the years are rolling by so fast, brother. And it seems like as you get older, time speeds up. Anybody concur with that?
Amen.
I mean, the years are rolling around so fast, I can't hardly keep up with it. But anyway, Jesus, we know, came the first time. We celebrate that Christmas. I love Christmas time. He was born in what city?
Bethlehem.
He grew up. He walked the shores of Galilee. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He opened deaf ears. He fed thousands with a lad's small lunch. He calmed stormy seas. And finally, he hung naked on a cross. You know why Jesus went to that cross? That was his whole mission, to die on that cross for you. And for me, he shed his blood. The Bible says, brother, it was no accident. He poured out his blood on the cross to save you from your sins, to save me from my sins. That's why he came. And he was buried. Thank God he rose again the third day. And then he ascended back to the Father. He ascended back to heaven from whence he came. But thank God that's not the end of the story. We're just getting wound up now, brother. As Jesus was ascending back to heaven, he left two angels behind. The Bible says they were in white apparel, and they gave this report to those disciples who were still looking up as they watched Jesus go into the clouds. And these angels told these men, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I want to talk to you this morning about our soon coming King. And how different, it's going to be so different, his second coming than his first coming. You see, the incarnation of Christ without the coronation of Christ would be like the East without the West. It'd be like talking about an engagement without a wedding. It all goes together. As Paul Harvey would say, let's talk about the rest of the story this morning. Let's talk about the contrast and how different Jesus' first coming is from what his second coming will be. You see, the first time Jesus came, he was born in a stable in Bethlehem. He was laid in a feeding trough. Why? There was no room for him. in the end, the Bible says. The second time, though, when Jesus comes back, he'll come as a conquering king. And, brother, he'll defeat the Antichrist. He will set up his millennial kingdom in Jerusalem. That's coming, just as sure as you live. Jesus is coming again. The first time he came as a suffering Savior. He came not, the Bible says, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He went to that Roman cross. He hung naked there, shed his blood for your sins and for mine. But the second time Jesus comes, he'll come as the judge of all the earth. The Bible says every knee shall bow. Won't you go ahead and do it now?
Amen.
Don't wait till it's too late. Everybody's going to bow, though. Did you know that? Even those that will wait too late, they're still going to bow. Do you believe Hitler's going to bow at the feet of Jesus? He sure is. Mussolini, Stalin, the butcher, all the great potentates of the past, they're all going to kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says every knee is going to bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you haven't done that, you need to do it today. While Jesus is offering salvation and grace and mercy. Don't wait till it's too late.
Amen.
You're going to do it one way or the other. Do it now. Don't wait until it's too late. First time Jesus came, he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, presenting himself as the Messiah. But the second time Jesus comes, he'll come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be riding on a white horse. The first time Jesus came, as we said, he came to offer salvation, grace, and mercy to all those who would repent of sin and believe on his name. But the second time Jesus comes, listen, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, he'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, well, I thought God was a God of love. He is. He's infinite love.
Amen.
He's perfect love. But he's also a God of wrath. He's a God of love. He's a God of wrath. Now, if I preach to you this morning the love of God without preaching to you the wrath of God, I've done you a great disservice because I didn't preach the whole gospel to you. On the other hand, if I preach the wrath of God to the exclusion of the love of God, again, you don't have the whole truth. You see, when you take each one of those, each half of that truth is true. But when you take part of the truth and you try to make part of the truth all of the truth, that part of the truth becomes an untruth. That's why we preachers of the gospel need to make sure we preach the whole counsel of God. This thing keeps falling. I think I'm just going to have to. Can you make it stay on my ear somehow? Preacher, it's probably made for your ear. Pinch it up a little bit. I'll let her do it. Every preacher that uses one of these, it fits him, brother. Oh, do you? Okay. Maybe she can get it on tight enough. Okay. Good to have assistance, isn't it?
I'll fix it. If it comes
Thank
off,
you.
Let me come over. I'll fix
okay,
it.
Pastor.
You might have it when you go home.
Amen. I love your pastor. And he's loved all over. We were just in a revival last, I'll digress a little bit, up in Culpeper, Virginia. And he's got friends up there. And, brother, they want to talk to you. They want to see you. And they're just bragging on how you got saved. Their preacher, their daddy, led you to the Lord. What was the name of that church?
Maranatha Baptist.
Maranatha Baptist in Amosville?
Amosville.
I pronounced that wrong. Amosville, Virginia. Anyway, we'll get on with the message this morning. Let's talk about now the contrast. Jesus is coming again, but it's going to be in two parts. Jesus is coming first in the rapture, and then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation on this earth, and then he's going to come back again. That's called the second advent. And we're going to talk about these two parts of the coming. It's two parts, the two phases of Jesus' second coming. Now, between these two parts, there's a time on the earth you don't want to be here then. The Bible refers to it as the time of Jacob's trouble. And, brother, there'll be trouble. There'll be torment, literal hell on earth. And you want to be here. If you get raptured, you don't have to worry about it. If you get saved, you don't have to worry about the tribulation. You don't have to worry about the Antichrist. But brother, it's coming. That's why I'm trying to preach it to you. If it weren't in the Bible, I wouldn't be preaching it to you today. It's just as much in the Bible as John 3:16. Jesus is coming again. Let's talk about it. In the rapture, Jesus will come not all the way down. He's just going to come to the clouds. The Bible says, and I believe that it's the next event on God's prophetic calendar. I don't believe there's anything left in the Bible that has to be fulfilled that would prevent Jesus from coming right now. We call it the imminent return of Jesus. He could come any moment. Now, the second advent, that's 7 years after the rapture of the church, Jesus will come all the way down. He will touch down on the Mount of Olives, the same place from where he's ascended back to heaven. We just read about that. Now, in the rapture, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then the living saints will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. The second advent, that is 7 years after the rapture, the saints of God will come back with Jesus to set up his earthly kingdom headquartered in Jerusalem. By the way, Jerusalem ain't going nowhere. It's the eternal city. And by the way, we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He's going to set up his earthly kingdom headquartered in Jerusalem, and this kingdom will last a full 1,000 years. It's coming. Now let's talk about the compelling truth, and this is the last thing, of Christ's soon return. Do you believe Jesus is coming soon?
Yes,
amen. We need to learn about that.
That's right.
Now parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, if we have any of those here today, are you teaching your children and your grandchildren about the coming of Christ? Are you? You don't need to just teach them about Christmas. You don't need to teach them just about even Easter. Jesus is coming again. Are you talking it up? Are you teaching your kids about the soon coming of the Lord? We just sang a song, wonderful song, Jesus is Coming Soon. I was thinking, Pastor, a while back about, it seemed like preachers back in the 60s, and especially the 70s, were preaching up a storm about the rapture. And the return of Christ. I can remember Oliver B. Green. I got to hear Dr. Green one time in person. They had him on a special Sunday evening at Tabernacle Baptist Church, White Horse Road, Greenville, South Carolina. We went over there special, drove an hour so we could hear Dr. Oliver B. Green preach. Guess what he preached on that night? This was back in the 70s. Preached on the rapture of the church. Brother, I thought Jesus was coming that night. He was talking about if Jesus were to come now, the saints are raptured out, and you're lost. You were left behind. He said you'd be looking around at the pews or the seats, and all you would see after saints are vanished, all you would see is the clothes and the shoes that are left behind.
Amen.
You dwell on that for a minute. It could happen. It could happen right now, and you'd be left behind if you don't know Jesus. You see, Jesus will come. The dead in Christ will rise. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. Boy, a lot of good songs were being sung and written back in the 60s and 70s. Jesus is coming soon. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. Songs like Lift Up Your Head, Children, Your Redemption Draweth Nigh. It could happen in a moment. You remember that one? In the twinkling of an eye, it could happen in the moment. He could split the eastern sky. That's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth. We need to be teaching it. We need to be learning about this. We need to be talking it up. Brother, I'm talking about songs written 50, 60 years ago. If Jesus was coming back soon then, just think how much closer we are to the coming of the Lord. Don't be one of those scoffers that sits around and says, where's the sign of his coming? Brother, the signs of the times are everywhere. We need to learn of his coming. Secondly, we need to look for his coming. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine down in Mississippi a while back. We were talking about the rapture of the church, the soon coming of the Lord, and how the signs of the times and our redemption draweth nigh. And I began telling this preacher about the Apostle Paul. You know, the early church 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, they were expecting Jesus to come back any moment. Even back then, 2,000 years ago. Just think. And he said, this preacher friend of mine said, well, if Paul were living today and seeing all the things that we're seeing, he'd be walking around with a crick in his neck. My neck just cracked and popped right there. I need to go to chiropractor. I'm going to get that new body one of these days, brother. Maybe a lot sooner than I think. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, if we're truly looking for Jesus to come back, that is, he's coming back to rapture us, the church, out of here, that it could happen in a moment, that it'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. That's not talking about a blink. That's pretty fast. But a twinkling of an eye is a lot faster than that. You know what it is? It's a reflection of a light on your cornea. It's like the twinkle of a star. That's how fast it's going to be. In the twinkling of an eye. Then it will, if you really believe that, Christian, if you really believe Jesus could come any moment, it'll change the way you live. You won't be dabbling in those sinful habits and things that you might be messing around with if you're really looking for Jesus to come. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
And every man, verse 3 there, it says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you're really looking for Jesus to come any moment, you want to snuggle up to him even closer and closer and live like he would have you to live. And by the way, there's a special crown that's going to be given to those believers who love and anticipate the appearing of our Lord. It's called the crown of righteousness. Wouldn't you like to win that crown? You'll have it if you're really looking for Jesus to come back when he comes. We need to learn of his coming. Brother, we need to long for his coming. Learn, look, and long for his coming. When is the rapture going to take place? I have no idea. If you ever hear of a preacher or so-called prophet set a time for this, you'll know he's a counterfeit. The Bible says, no man knoweth but the Father in heaven. But I tell you what, it's going to happen. I was talking about my mom and dad a while ago. 92, 87. Brother, they ain't looking for the undertaker. They're looking for the upper taker. You can't get around mom and dad for 5 minutes. They'll be talking about the soon coming of Jesus. Did you hear on the news what happened in Israel today? Jesus is coming soon. I still believe they're God's chosen people. And brother, the Bible says that he'll bless them that bless Israel and he'll curse them that curse Israel. We better stay with them, brother.
Right.
If you want to be under the blessing of the Lord, they're our best ally. And we better stay with them. But I tell you what, I can remember I was a little boy back in 1967. And you remember the Six-Day War? Anybody remember the Six-Day War? Oh, it's all off. If you want to learn about the Six-Day War, it's all over YouTube. You can learn about it real easy. But back in the Six-Day War, 1967, Israel defeated three nations plus six more that helped out in six short days. It was a miracle. Israel defeated Egypt. They defeated Syria. No, I'm sorry. Egypt, Jordan, and, yes, yeah, Syria. Those three. Defeated those countries. And plus, Iraq was involved. Saudi Arabia was involved. Lebanon was involved. They defeated all these nations in six short days.
On the seventh day, they rested.
Yeah, 7 days. And you know what all these nations were trying to do? They were trying to eliminate Israel. They wanted to wipe them off the face of the earth. Wipe them off the map. Brother, it didn't happen. They're still here. And they're going to be here. They're going to be here. The Lord, you say, well, they ain't doing right. No, we ain't either. You know that? Yeah, they're sin over there. They celebrate their own Pride Month and all that mess. What are we doing? We doing any better? No. We're not doing any better. But you know what? God is going to raise up something. It's going to happen. We're talking about the tribulation period. And those Jews, toward the end of that tribulation, the Bible says they're going to look upon the one whom they pierced, and the whole nation is going to be saved in a day. It's going to happen. But, brother, I can remember when the Six-Day War happened. I was 9 years old. The old folks were sitting around talking. Now, what do I mean by the old folks or the whatever? Your mom and dad, they're in their mid-30s. They're already old, you know, to a nine-year-old. The old folks were sitting around talking about Jesus is coming back. They were saying that back in 1966. Well, you know what? Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back. Believe it or not, ready or not, Jesus is coming up again. He's coming back. And I'm looking for him to come back any day now. The Bible says we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I try to do that. What are you doing when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? I really think you're praying for the soon coming of Jesus. Because there's not going to be any true lasting peace in the Middle East until Jesus sits upon the throne of his father David and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. Then he'll rule with a rod of iron, the Bible says. He's going to put down all this sinful mess that we see today. We're to long for his coming. The last prayer in the Bible, John prayed it, right there at the last chapter, Revelation 22, verse 20, it says, "He which testifieth these things, saying, Surely I come quickly, amen." And then John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Do you pray that prayer? We ought to pray that prayer. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We're to learn of his coming, look for his coming, long for his coming. And then finally this morning, we need to live for his coming. Live. What does that mean? Well, Jesus said in Luke 19:13, "Occupy till I come." What do you think that means? Jesus said to us believers, "Occupy till I come." I believe he is meaning for us to stay in the field. Don't quit. Stay busy and diligently about the Lord's work or doing the Lord's work. Especially don't get slack in this business of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you talking it up, Christian? Are you witnessing for the Lord? To those that you come in contact with, those that you work with perhaps, those that you go to school with perhaps. Are you telling people about Jesus? We need to be doing that. I'll close with this story. I heard an evangelist that told this story about staying in the field. He said when he was 16 years old, he had a bunch of younger cousins, and they wanted to go out to Papa's farm. And they were wanting to go out there and have a big celebration on Papa's farm. And they asked Papa, "Can we go out in the field with you today?" Papa said, "No, I don't think that's a good idea." And so they started begging. "Oh, Papa, please, let us go out in the field with you today, Papa. Please, we want to go out and work in the field. Please, let us go, Papa." He said, "All right." Says, "You can take them out there in the field." But he put out this stipulation. He said, "You'll not come in until the end of the day. If you go out there, you have to stay the full day." And man, they were excited. They were so happy. They loaded up in the wagon, the tractor, and heading out to the hay field. And they got out there at daybreak. And brother, it was fun for about an hour until the sun came up. They started getting that hay down in their collar, grit and grime, and getting dirty and sweaty and all that stuff. And brother, they got tired of it real quick. And they told the 16-year-old cousin who was old, says, "Take us back in. We're done." "Take us back in." He said, "No, Papa," said, "we got to stay out here the full day. That's what we're going to do." And finally, 12 o'clock noon rolled around. By noon, brother, it was hot. You're talking about, this is down in the south, no doubt. They were miserable. They were tired. They were whining. Some of them were either crying, "Please let us go back home." I said, "Nope. We're staying just out here." Papa said, we got to stay out here the full day. So they sweated it out some more. Finally, 3 o'clock afternoon rolled around, come up a terrible thunderstorm and a lot of lightning and wind, and it was incredible. And boy, they was wanting to go home. Finally, end of the day rolled around, 5 o'clock in the evening. Papa said, "All right, we're going in. It's time to go home, have supper." And they all piled up in the wagon. They went back to the house. They started getting their baths, getting ready for supper. And finally, everybody gathered around the supper table. Papa said, "Children, I want to tell you something. God has blessed us on this farm. We got a fine farm. We've got a wonderful heritage here. The Lord's given us a wonderful family." He said, "I want to tell you why God has blessed us so." He says, "There have been times that when it was hot and we were tired and we were dirty, we were grimy, we wanted to come in from the field. I wanted to come in from the field." He said, "But we didn't come in." He said, "We stayed in the field the full day." He said, "All this you see on this farm is because of the blessing of the Lord and for the lesson of hard work. We learned what it meant to stay in the field. It pays off." You know what those children, when they stayed out there the full day, this evangelist said, they were so happy to know that they had made it the full day on Papa's farm, working in Papa's field. Don't you want to be able to say that when Jesus comes?
Yeah.
"Lord, I stayed in the field the full day until the night came and there was no more ability to work. Jesus came and took us out of here, but I stayed active. I stayed busy for the Lord, and I stayed with it, serving Jesus all the way to the end."
Amen.
Don't quit on God. You don't need to slow down, brother. You need to speed up. Do all you can. You say, "Well, I can't do much." You can pray. There's all kind of ministry. And by the way, if you're saved and you don't have some kind of ministry, you ought to get one.
Right.
To spread the gospel.
Right.
Whether it be tracts or whatever, you need to get busy doing something for Jesus because he's coming back. Sinner friend, are you ready? Do you know the Lord for sure? Do you know if you die tonight or die this afternoon, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven? You need to make that right with the Lord today. Please don't wait. Please don't put it off any longer. Pastor, would you come, brother?
Thank you, brother. This is what we're going to get. What are we doing on the invitation song, Daryl? Are you playing anything, Tori? As you can see, we're winging it this morning. You got it on the CD, okay. I bragged on my piano player, and then she ain't going to play the whole day. This is what I think. I believe, and it is closer, there's a lot of things in the air with what we see going on in the Middle East. But this is what I've always thought this, after I knew anything about the Bible, studied